This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I am John Hanson of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And what a program we have for you as we gear up for the fantasy football playoffs. We're not going to be doing buy low and sell high today because, well, that ship is basically sailed in week 15. But Week 15 does kick off your fantasy football playoffs for most people out there. I know some leagues started last week. I was in a high stakes league that I thought I lost, but no, I didn't lose. A couple of high stakes leagues have been in the playoffs now for a couple of weeks, but I didn't realize that it continued this week and I forgot to set my lineup, but you don't do that out there. We'll be giving you some good playoff schedules and bad playoff schedules, just replicating the process that I do every week when I'm looking for buy low and sell high. I scan the schedule, I look at every team, every situation, and obviously I'm filtering through mentally a lot of variables. And most of the players I have are players who kind of need a little bit of help with some schedules. And then on the negative side of things, I have some pretty good players who might get on the struggle bus these next 3 weeks. We'll recap, of course, the Eagles falling to the LA Chargers here at the tippy top. As always, we'll chop it up with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data. Once again, the hardest assignment in the world. Week 14 ended about 13 hours ago, and let's go. We need the week 15 data. Let's go. So Stephen O'Rourke will come equipped with that data and some recos for the upcoming week. And then the waiver wire been weird. It's the weirdest year I've ever seen on the waiver wire. We have very good players like Harold Fannin. No one cares. They're producing and they're still available. I don't know. Maybe it's a situation where you have a lot of players getting picked up, then dropped. But these Yahoo percentages and ownerships, I'm like, what are we all asleep at the wheel over here? So we'll get into it in terms of the waiver wire. It's not great. It's a lot of the same names, quite frankly. The program, as always, is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash fast. Download Better at better.app now. Sign up today. You can sign up for free and get a $10 no deposit needed. I've only said this promo 300 times. You would think I have it memorized at this juncture, like I have the following memorized. Make sure you get your Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple or Spotify. See, I did. I can memorize some things. Anyway, let's get into what happened last night. It wasn't great. It was more sister kissing and more tying, which isn't great. But as you can see, we'll take some small victories. It was not an easy game to handicap. I did opine that it would, in fact, be an A.J. Brown game, and it was. And I played the over, and that was an easy win, even though he dropped a 40-yard play pass on the first play of the game. But don't look now, A.J. Brown, I believe I was saying buy low on him. This is what buy low, sell high is all about, by the way. Pretty sure I was saying this for a couple of weeks about a month ago. Well, now my man has rolled off three straight 100-yard games. How about Dallas Goedert, though? The grinder, man, he went in on that under. Ooh, that did not look good. That looked like an L right away. But in his defense, I mean, the guy has been invisible. But this is the problem with the Philadelphia Eagle offense. This is one of the reasons why it was a difficult evaluation, because Jalen Hurts is not playing very well. And we lost that prop. And I will say, full disclosure, it was a little bit of a reach. He had been running, though. I really, truly wanted to go in on Herbert, believe it or not. That was the good schematic matchup in terms of giving up rushing production to quarterbacks. As I did mention on yesterday's show, but I'm like, I can't do it. You know, this guy's coming off surgery on his forearm or whatever. It didn't seem to be that much of a problem. And he took off and ran as I suspected he would, and he got it done. Let's see what else happened in the game. Well, the big one was we did get the interception correct, so that was nice. But Keenan Allen was our Monday night special. It just kind of flopped, but what are we going to do? He threw for 139 yards, and 60 of them were on a dump-off. In my defense, Keenan Allen led the team with three targets, three catches, and he led all receivers with 22 damn yards. So the hashtag analysis was, it kind of stuck. It just didn't happen, and we did go under on Ladd. He was very active early in the game. He was open too. And I thought, uh-oh, but we do get that one done. But again, not a great day. And it was unfortunate because the Saquon Barkley one was just like the Hurts one. It was a little bit of, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a reach. Maybe trying a little bit too hard, trying to pop out six props here. But I did. Seriously, I really was going to go with the rushing receiving. Just, you know what, let's give ourselves an out here, give ourselves a little bit, two more, or another option, two total to potentially get the prop. Not that he's going to get, I think it was like 92 yards or whatever receiving, but I looked at the rushing data. It didn't look that great, quite frankly, but obviously Barkley got it done and they found something in the running game and they stuck with it. And he ripped off a 52 yarder to really pad the stats, because otherwise if you take away the 52 yarder, now we got 19 carries for like 72 yards. So it wasn't all that great, but he does get it done. And that's another player, by the way, I've been saying to trade for because of this schedule. And we'll get into that as we move along. Omarion Hampton looked pretty good. I think he covered his prop. I lost that sheet from yesterday, but it was pretty close, too close for comfort. 13 carries for 56. He did look, like I said, pretty good. But as we expected slash feared, Kamani Vidal was very involved, and he got 14 carries in the game, along with that catch for 60. We do get Hampton with 2 for 11. So it was a little bit of an empty calorie game for Omarion Hampton. And that may continue to be the case because Kamani Vidal has kind of created a little bit of a dual backfield with his play. I mean, the guy has been pretty darn good subbing in for Omarion Hampton. So, and then I did mention it yesterday. I really kind of wanted to take that under on Gadsden. Obviously, a big regret. Dude caught one ball for seven. And I was going to go under on Quentin Johnson just because I think he stinks. And I did mention how he can't catch a football. And he dropped, I believe, the first ball that was thrown to him. I didn't go there because I think he was on Adoree Jackson quite a bit. And that was the choice matchup, but it does not work in this one. So the Chargers get it done. They moved to 9-4. The Philadelphia Eagles at 8-5. I don't know what we're going to do with Jalen Hurts. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to add him to the DNP list is what we're going to do. First and foremost, in fantasy, you're probably going to have to suck it up, obviously, and roll with him. But we are adding him to the do not play list. We've been accumulating a list of players all year. Jameson Williams, Cooper Kupp, the aforementioned Quentin Johnston, Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs. None of these players, well, J-Mo did pretty well, but that was a unique circumstance. Kyle Pitts did well last week. Still don't trust him. Darnell Mooney, we had him on here last week. Thank God, because he didn't hit this past week. Well, he did hit the under. Jonnu Smith, that was a way back. DK Metcalf. We did that a while ago, and he was not decoy Metcalf this past week. Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and I love Shakir, but he continues to kind of come up small. DJ Moore, Troy Franklin, all Patriots receivers, every single one of them, including Hunter Henry, Steph Diggs, all of them. I'm not playing any props on any of these dudes. And last week, we added Lamar Jackson. Now, he did go over the rushing this past week, and he did help my guy Zay Flowers get over, but he had a bad game again throwing the football. And then Ricky Pearsall, they were, well, he didn't do, weren't they off last week? Yeah, they were off. So I was going to say, like, I mean, the week before was a bye, it's been a bye week for Ricky. Unfortunately, they weren't on bye for a couple of weeks, but Ricky Pearsall, that ship has sailed. But we will take a look at some players that are looking very good schedule-wise. I really wanted to put Ricky Pearsall on that list, by the way, but I don't trust Ricky Pearsall at this point. It's see you next year, Ricky. No doubt about it. But we do have another player on that list. And like I said, I kind of scanned everything. I scanned as best as I could in terms of looking at the schedule and seeing what is up. So when we return on the other side, we'll take a look at, I have a pretty long list here. I should probably even start the list now because it's quite long, but I'll try my best to go through it. Got to do my due diligence and look at every single factor in the mix here. So we shall do that. On the other side, we'll also talk with Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data as well. He's got plenty of good things cooking for this week. And when we return, I lost my spot here, unfortunately. I did have something to read, but I don't have it in front of me. So I will start by looking at some of the names here. I'm going to give you a sneak peek here. How about Javonte Williams? We'll talk about him. Devin Neal has a very good schedule forthcoming. The aforementioned Saquon Barkley, by the way. Here's that schedule the next 3 weeks. This is why I had him on the players to trade for list a couple of weeks ago. Vegas, DC, and Buffalo. That is a very good run. And they might be getting Lane Johnson back at right tackle. We'll take a look at the full list of playoff winners and losers schedule-wise here on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you know sports? Then it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And when your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, you get a 50% deposit matchup of $200. Better has year-round action. And action every day of the year. NBA, WNBA, MLB, you name it. Always a lineup to build and always a chance to win. Getting started is easy. Go to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. And don't forget to pop in the promo code VSiN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Better Picks. If you know sports, it's time to prove it. And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points. I'm John Hansen. I've got my stuff together here. I was lost there for a second. I had all these tabs open. I got way too much information on this program, way too much to hold in this here noggin. But we didn't get to the big news just reported about, I don't know, let's see, 22 minutes ago by our guy, friend of the program, Mr. Adam Schefter. Phil Rivers worked out for the Indianapolis Colts last night, and he officially has been signed to the practice squad. He's 44-year-old man, and he's a grandfather. I was joking today with our producer, Michael Cohen. It's like, oh, Phil, you should go out there, play at 44. It's something you could tell your grandkids. It's like, hell, my grandkids will be at the game if I play. It's unbelievable. He has not played now in 5 years, and it's very ironic. I actually brought up his name yesterday. I had no idea when I said that Phil Rivers was even in play, obviously, for the Indianapolis Colts. He last played in 2019. I'd mention it as it related to Keenan Allen up against Vic Fangio defenses. Here's the problem. I love Phil Rivers. Guy's awesome. It took me a while, by the way, when he came out, to get over that sidearm delivery, but I got over it quickly. I once had an argument with, I won't even name the name, but it's a former NFL quarterback who did radio in Philadelphia, and I really like Phil Rivers. And this dude busted my chops about it. relentlessly because he had a really bad showing early. But shout out to that guy because I won't even name him because Phil's probably making a Hall of Fame, but that's neither here nor there. That was a long time ago. It was 20 plus years ago. And the last time we saw Phil Rivers, he didn't look good. He looked like an old man 5 years ago. So I think we're probably going to see Riley Leonard for the Indianapolis Colts more often than not. And Mike Tomlin, talking on DK Metcalf, saying he's moving in the right direction, said he doesn't think it'll jeopardize his availability for Monday. Experiencing stomach pains resulted in a hospital visit. We're not going to make any jokes about a hospital visit, but DK is a notorious candy eater. So you know, I know I've OD'd on candy a couple of times. Probably not. It's probably something else. But get well soon, DK. And like I mentioned, the Eagles are hoping to get right tackle Lane Johnson back, and that would be massive. But let's get into the promised segment here, and I'm going to explore as quick as I can. Very good playoff matchups the next 3 weeks. And most of these players need help. And then I have the negative Nelly side of things. I've got some pretty good players with some pretty scary matchups. And quarterback, again, we're digging lower here. You don't need me to tell you if somebody like Jordan Love, who's balling right now, has a good schedule. Number one, JJ McCarthy. I know I listed him here on the waiver wire maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I said, forget about week 13 and 14 because he's got the Packers in Seattle. Forget it. But it was all about the slate of games right now. And we're off to a good start because JJ was a QB1 in week 14. And I understand it's a little scary, but you know what? You know who else is scary right now? Lamar Jackson's scary. Patty Mahomes was scary last week. Baker Mayfield is scary right now. Bo Nix is scary, to name four. So forget the name on the back of the jersey and know it's a pretty good offense and a really, really good schedule. Dallas, 22.6 points a game they're giving up. The Giants at 20.7 and Detroit. It's the softest schedule among all 32 quarterbacks the rest of the way. And I thought last week JJ showed that he could still produce with the rest of their receivers if, you know, Justin Jefferson wants to be a front runner and continue to be a very well-paid decoy. Because I'm thinking about Justin Jefferson. I love Justin Jefferson. I've said many times I think he's a great role model, but he's losing a lot of points with me. It's like, dude, you play with literally the greatest quarterback in the history of college football. And then you went to Minnesota, very good offense right out of the gate, with pretty good quarterback play, and now at the first sign of trouble, you're bailing. You're part of the problem. When you're a guy like Jefferson, you got to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem, and he's been part of the problem. Marcus Mariota, hey, the opponents line up pretty well here. Choice matchup this week against the Giants, then Philly, and then another choice matchup against DC. Philly may be tough, but they also – they've been giving up all kinds of rushing production to quarterbacks. Look at Justin Herbert last night. This is on the low end, but I could see Tua actually having some success these next 3 weeks. At Pittsburgh, good schematic, then Cincinnati, and then Tampa. They're giving up 25.9 points a game to quarterbacks. We mentioned Javonte Williams, Dallas, Minnesota, LA Chargers, and Washington. I see that as very good for Javonte. In the LA Charger case, maybe like Saquon, You must commit to the running game because the matchup is pretty tough through the air. I mentioned Devin Neal. I am assuming that Alvin Kamara is going to be placed on the shelf for the rest of the year. He's under contract for 2026, but they're in evaluation mode. They got to evaluate Devin Neal. Evaluate him these next 3 weeks, and if you like him, then you don't have to do anything on running back next year because you have him and Mr. Kamara. But good matchups here for volume. Carolina, the Jets, and Tennessee. Very good. Saquon Barkley, as I mentioned, that schedule is really good, and we might get Lane Johnson back. Vegas, DC, and Buffalo. I mean, that's fantastic schedule. Also, how about Woody Marks, Woodrow hanging in there? Arizona, they're giving up 33 points a game to running backs right now. Vegas, good matchup. And then again, same thing with the Chargers. Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary, aka the Fantasy Cockroach. It'll probably be Devin Singletary because, well, he's a Fantasy Cockroach. Can't get rid of him. DC, Minnesota, and Vegas. It's unbelievable, but I think Devin Singletary will probably outproduce Tyrone Tracy these next 3 weeks. Low end here again, Chris Rodriguez, Giants, Eagles, Dallas, I think is good. Wide receivers, love this. I mentioned this a month ago. I said trade for Terry McLaurin right now on the cheap. He's doing all right. He's got Giants, Eagles, Cowboys. Overall, I think that's a pretty good schedule. I'll also throw the Viking guys on there, maybe even Justin Jefferson too, but maybe more so Jordan Addison and Jalen Naylor. We can get by without JJ as we did last week against Dallas, the Giants, and the Lions. Don't forget, JJ played very well against Detroit in Detroit about a month and a half ago. Juwan Jennings, very good schedule. I'd love to say great things about Ricky, but it's all Juwan. Tennessee, Indy, and Chicago, really good. The Buck guys have good schedules. Evans, Godwin, Atlanta, Carolina, and Minnesota. Tyler Warren as well. Seattle, San Fran, Jacksonville, fantastic schedule. I think Travis Kelce has a very good schedule. Chargers, Titans, and Broncos. And then Gadsden came up small last night. Chiefs, Cowboys, and Texans. Finally, quickly, the bad ones. I don't like this Drake May schedule. Buffalo, Baltimore, and the Jets. They're giving up on average about 14.7 fantasy points per game. Caleb Williams, Cleveland, Green Bay, San Fran. San Fran's not bad, but Cleveland, Green Bay, not good. Dak Prescott, Minnesota, LA, and DC. Minnesota's given up nothing to quarterbacks lately. Bo Nix, don't like it at all. Green Bay, Jacksonville, and Kansas City. Don't like Kyren Williams, that schedule. Not that we're going to do much about it, but I don't like it. FYI, Detroit, Seattle, Atlanta. Jonathan Taylor's schedule is not great. Seattle, San Fran, Jacksonville. Breece Hall, not great. Jacksonville, New Orleans, and the tough Patriots. And then Jalen Warren, not feeling warm and fuzzy about that one either. Miami's been stingy for a month plus, 2 months. Detroit and Cleveland. Also, Brock Bowers, it's not good, this schedule. He's got Philadelphia, Houston, and the Giants. Also, Kyle Pitts, don't like it. Tampa, Arizona, and LA Rams. And then last but not least, Hunter Henry, Buffalo, Baltimore, and the Jets. We'll talk to Stephen O'Rourke on the other side. But first, if you missed it the first time, good news. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using the promo code Circa will receive a free three-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through the 5th. You'll save 50% off the monthly price. So lock in your spot now at VSiN.com/Circa. Use the promo code Circa, VSIN.com/Circa. Stephen O'Rourke, Fantasy Points Data, Week 15, data next.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, going to the progressive guest line to bring in our guy, our Tuesday guy, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film and senior film analyst. Let me get the fancy title correct, over at Fantasy Points, and he's on the X machine at CallMeSteve07. Steve, what is up? The fantasy playoffs have arrived. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Laughing, enjoying the news about Philip Rivers. I mean, just when you think the season can't take any crazier turns, we get a 5-year removed Hall of Fame eligible quarterback to come out of retirement. So I think that's just awesome and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, well, if Grandpa is suiting up, we're taking the under. Right now, I'm in now on all Rivers under on the passing, but neither here nor there. Let's look at a guy who was probably like, I'm trying to add it all up, like -2 when Phil was drafted. Jackson Dart, he is up against the DC Commanders. Now, we'll see what the rushing prop number is, because for obvious reasons, there should be some trepidation. But as I did opine, I guess, in his last game, it's still in his DNA. The guy is going to run. He can't help himself. What do you see there with Dart?
Yeah, you can try and take it out of him as much as you want, but especially when it comes to too high, 14 of Jackson Dart's 25 scrambles this season have come against too high defense, and the Commanders allow 9.65 yards per scramble this season, which is second worst in the NFL. And since Dan Quinn took over defensive play calling duties, the Commanders have run the highest percentage of too high since week 10 at 64%. Too high just kind of muddies the picture for quarterbacks, and especially for a young quarterback with not a great stable of receivers, it does kind of lean toward Jackson Dart taking off more. So I think there's a good chance that he kind of looks to take off early, especially against a team that, you know, has slower linebackers, right, likes to blitz Louisville, things like that.
Well, JJ McCarthy ran for, I think it was 19 yards last week, or maybe even a little bit more, as 20 yards or 22. So, and he had not been running all that much. So that does make some sense. Now, I don't want to throw you a curveball, but I heard Troy Aikman talking recently about Jackson Dart, and he had a comp that blew my mind, because I was like, oh my God, I totally see it. Now, it's going to be before your time, but this is for, you know, the older listeners. The comp for Jackson Dart, Jim McMahon. I was like, oh my God, that's it. He's Jim McMahon. He is absolutely Jim McMahon. And I actually went back and I looked, I couldn't believe it. Jim McMahon was only 6'1", 195, which kind of blows my mind, because I thought he was maybe a little bit bigger. But Jackson Dart, 6'2", like 220. So he's actually bigger than Jim McMahon. But yeah, that's for the old heads out there. Jackson Dart, the Troy Aikman comp, was fantastic. Jim McMahon. But let's move on here. Jets at the Jaguars. Travis Etienne. Hey, I was a little skeptical. Not that he's been unbelievable, but he's held it down all year in a contract year as well. And then the Jets, they're giving up explosives on the regular here, and good matchup here. What else do you see?
Yeah, since week 8, the Jets are allowing 5.09 yards per attempt on zone concept runs, which is fourth worst in the NFL during that stretch. They allow 4.8 yards per carry overall during that stretch, which is seventh worst in the NFL. With Tootin fumbling last week, Etienne took over the bulk of the workload after that, and he's averaging 5.17 yards per attempt on zone concept runs this season. The Jets also allow 0.17 missed tackles forced per attempt since week 8, which is seventh highest in the NFL. Trevor Lawrence looks good, and it has like trickled down to the running game and just the offense as a whole. I think Jacksonville has been on a tear. Their defense is playing really well. That bodes well for the game script moving toward, you know, similar to what it was last week, where it goes more ground heavy. I think Etienne has a good week this week.
By the way, have you ever seen any tape of Jim McMahon?
I just in documentaries and stuff, nothing like legitimate, right, or any full games like that. But I know he was kind of a bull in the china shop type of guy, which is exactly what Jackson Dart is.
Totally, yeah. So that's your assignment. Go watch some highlights of Jimmy McMahon and see if you see it. Because I was blown away. I am a comp guy. I like comps. I know they annoy some people, but I think it contextualizes things pretty well, especially when the dude never played in the NFL. You know, you want to know what type of player it is. I like comps in that regard. Right. Well, Bijan Robinson, here's a comp. LaDainian Tomlinson, who happens to be a friend of mine. And before Bijan entered the NFL, I had LaDainian on my podcast, and I asked him about that comp, and he signed off on it just with all kinds of enthusiasm, and that's held true to form. What do you see this week with Bijan up against the Bucs?
Yeah, this is just – the Bucs continue to struggle against running backs in the pass game. Last time they played the Bucs, Bijan had 6 receptions for 100 yards. The Bucs allowed 10.36 yards per attempt on targets to players lined up in the backfield, which is worse in the NFL by over 2 yards per attempt than the second worst team in the NFL, who give up 8.1 yards per attempt to running backs. Bijan has a 16.4% target share. He averages 2.67 yards per route run against single high defense. I expect the Falcons to turn to Bijan against the Bucs. He's a matchup nightmare, especially for that linebacking group, especially Servassier Dennis, who seems to always find himself in precarious situations against running backs.
My Bo Nix prop or comp is not very complimentary. I won't use what it, but it was like Bo Nix is like a luxurious Drew Lock. That's not good. What do you see here with Bo Nix? It's like if there were hotels, Drew Lock would be like, you know, your run of the mill. Bo Nix would be like your 5-star hotel. But what do you see with him up against Green Bay? I can tell it's probably not going to be good.
Yeah, Green Bay is running the third highest percentage of zone coverage in the NFL at 79.1%. They've allowed over 210 yards passing in just 6 games this season. And against zone coverage, Bo Nix averages 6.22 yards per attempt, which is 36th in the NFL. He has a 64.7% completion percentage, which is 34th in the NFL. And despite facing the 14th highest pressure rate in the NFL, Green Bay is 8th in pressure rate this season, 41%. So I expect him to see more pressure. Green Bay only allows 6.46 yards per attempt when lined up in zone coverage, which is 3rd best in the NFL. Overall, I expect them to muddy the picture. The Green Bay cornerbacks are really sticky in coverage. I just think it's going to be kind of a tough day for Bo Nix. They're going to try to lean on the ground game, and they're going to lean on their defense to try to keep it to be a, you know, low scoring tight matchup, because it just, yeah, I don't love Bo Nix against a defense like this.
Yeah. Well, you know, he doesn't have very good chemistry with his receivers. You know why? Because he throws to 37 different receivers every single week. I'm exaggerating just a touch right there.
But not really.
Final one here. No, not really. No, final one for Stephen O'Rourke here. And also give me your confidence level on Bryce Young and this offense in general. I think the running game is pretty good. I kind of like Coker to maybe emerge as like a second target, but you have some data here and some things I assume you like about Tet McMillan. That said, maybe not. I don't know. Saints have been really stingy against the pass. What do you have on Tet?
Yeah, the Saints have been playing well, but what I like is that the Saints run the 4th highest single high coverage in the NFL at 59.5% this season, and they're allowing 8.61 yards per attempt to receivers lined out wide, which is 20th in the NFL. And since week 8, McMillan has had a 29.5% target share against single high coverage, which is tied for 8th in the NFL. And he's averaging 2.74 yards per route run against single high coverage, which is 21st in the NFL. All that despite running the 21st most routes against single high coverage and having the 3rd highest yards per route run for any guy with over 95 routes since week 8. So he's a big target. I expect Bryce Young to lean on him pretty often, as he's continued to do. And I just think it bodes well for McMillan, despite New Orleans playing well and Tyler Shuck looking well against the Bucs last week and kind of progressing each week. I do like Bryce Young. I think that he's kind of shown this ability to pick up where he's left off in the middle of the season. He kind of starts out slow, but then later in the season starts to kind of figure it out, starts to get his feet underneath him, and looks a little bit more comfortable. So I think that, you know, all of that bodes well for Bryce Young, bodes well for the offense. And I think Tet McMillan is one of the guys that's big enough and tall enough that despite sticky coverage, he can still throw it in there and try and get him to jump ball opportunities and stuff over the middle.
Let's get going with a Tet offensive in week 15. That's Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. Follow him on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O. Great stuff as always, Steve. We'll catch you next week.
John.
But first, if you think you know sports, get paid for with BetterPicks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download BetterPick more or less in your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you win. New users still get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. You can get a 50% matchup of $200 when you do deposit. Go to better.app, download Better today, and use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. Waiver wire selections next.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on a Tuesday. Big news of the day. Bombshell dropping by our guy Adam Schefter. The Indianapolis Colts signing 44-year-old Phil Rivers to the practice squad. And I guess they're going to get him in the building and work him out and see where he is physically. You can't make it up. It is unbelievable. I mean, we have Pop Douglas, and now we have Pop Rivers in the NFL. It's incredible. Might be the first grandfather to throw a touchdown in history if he does. So we'll monitor that. What are the odds on that? Plus 1 million over on DraftKings. But neither here nor there. It is time to take a look at the waiver wire. And, you know, I'm always going off of Yahoo ownership projections. I never, ever put a guy on this list, by the way, who's rostered in over 50% of leagues. So we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. And this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the waiver wire being weird this year. Maybe people just quit. I don't know. Giving up. Quiet quit their fantasy leagues. But Luther Burden, I know he's not going nuts here, but he's only rostered in 17% of Yahoo leagues, which is absurd because he's coming on and it's an ideal spot in Ben Johnson's offense as the slot receiver. Well, now he's had a true breakout game in week 14. I mean, it wasn't incredible, but I think it qualifies. The vibes remain very poor with DJ Moore, who was pouting again. I mean, Mr. Sourpuss, he's always pouting about something. Now, in his defense, he was open for a potential walk-off or game-tying touchdown, but no, Caleb ignored him and tried to force the ball in the end zone and got picked off. Well, maybe one of the reasons that Caleb ignored you is because you're a sourpuss. But anywho, I look at Luther Burden as potentially leading this wide receiver group going forward. Roma Dunze is currently hurt. And again, the vibes with Moore are bad. Roma Dunze is, I like him, but I've never said like draft Roma Dunze, quite frankly, the last 2 years. I think he's good, but I've never, you know, pushed him because he's a little schematic dependent. And of course the quarterback isn't very good. Next up, again, he's been on this list like four times, Harold Fannin, yet he's still available in 60% or more, 60% of Yahoo leagues. It's unbelievable. I know he's been a little difficult to go all in on. Trust me. I'd love to, you know, do it more often. I actually did play a Fannin prop 2 weeks ago, which hit, by the way. I actually, as I think I mentioned yesterday, at fantasypoints.com, doing research after the Friday show, I'm like, I'm in on Jerry Jeudy here. And he hit, thanks to Shedeur Sanders, who made some really nice throws. But at the end of the day, I mean, Harold Fannin is one of the best rookie tight ends I've covered in 30-plus years. And that's a long-ass time. He's good. That's the bottom line. I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and I liked him there. I mean, he's just an old-school dude. All bets are off, by the way, week 16 in Buffalo. But looking very good this week against Chicago and then week 17 against Pittsburgh. Number three, Bam Knight. Again, he's been on this list every week. It looks very grim at this point for Trey Benson. So even if Amari DeMarcado returns, which is in play, I still think Knight's fine. I think DeMarcado just takes Michael Carter's role. And Knight has got three receptions in four straight games, and he does score. He's the RB28 in fantasy points per game the last 5 weeks with a very workable 11.4 fantasy points per game. Next up, my guy, Shuck Rattle and Roll, Tyler Shuck. He's got two touchdowns and 19-plus fantasy points in three of his last four games. He is the QB14 in that span, believe it or not, with 17.2 fantasy points on the strength of 20 carries for 95 yards and two rushing touchdowns. But he's gaining confidence by the week and a decent receiving core now with Devon Valais stepping up. And at the end of the day, he plays for a pretty damn good coach, offensive mind in Kellen Moore. So I think the floor at this point is very palatable. And the ceiling, as we saw last week, is actually pretty darn high. Next up, Mariota. It's over for Jaden Daniels. You know, I told a good number of people to start Jaden Daniels on our live stream at Fantasy Points this past week. And, you know, I'm just reacting off of what the team does. Had I known that, you know, and maybe this doesn't really count, but had I known that we could be bumped out of the game that easily or that easily aggravate the injury, then I wouldn't have done it. But I'm operating off of the assumption that, like, he's their franchise quarterback. They're going nowhere. Like, if he's playing, he must be good. Well, apparently not. But anywho, Mariota, I think, is going to take over the rest of the way. This is it. That's it. It's over for Daniels, I believe. So I'm presuming that he'll be the starter the rest of the way. No Zach Ertz, but still has a pretty good receiving core and a very good schedule. New York Giants at Philadelphia and Dallas. Mariota is averaging 35 rushing yards per game in his starts and over 4 fantasy points per game with his legs because he's got a rushing touchdown. So there you go. So it's almost like he starts every game with a touchdown pass. Because he will run and get you 3 to 4 points on the ground with his legs. As I mentioned, I mean, I might be the only one outside of the Coker family, but I like Jalen Coker to potentially make a small impact here, as he did, by the way, in their last game. He dropped 4 grabs for 74 with a tutty on 6 targets and a 30% target share with a 55% snap share in their last game in Week 13. I know the pickings are slim here, but I do believe that Bryce Young needs a second option, a second target. Forget about these tight ends. Enough of these tight ends. Tommy Tremble, can you just go away? No offense, but I'd like to see the Panthers get a good tight end next year so we could stop with Jatavion Sanders and Tommy Tremble and all these other guys. Next up, you can't get rid of them. Devin Singletary. Still only rostered in 25% of Yahoo leagues. Yes, I know he's splitting time with Tyrone Tracy, but he's the RB26, which is this close to being a fantasy starter in his last 5 games, weeks 9 through week 13, yet no one cares. But 11.7 fantasy points per game is not too shabby, and with this schedule of DC, Minnesota, and Vegas, not the only thing that can stop him is the end of the regular season. I know I'm being somewhat disingenuous here and somewhat sarcastic, but again, Devin Singletary, you can't stop him. Next up, Jaden Reed. Green Bay's deep receiving core certainly is a problem. Caps the upside, but he caught all 4 of his targets, 31 yards rushing as well on a 62% route share, actually 22 yards rushing. He got 33 yards receiving. But still, he added 9.3 fantasy points last week. Not too shabby. Jordan Love is playing out of his mind right now. So I do think it's a nice little compliment. Jaden Reed underneath, Watson down the field, you know, and forget about everybody else. You know, you want to throw once in a while to Romeo Doubs, I'm fine with it. Next up, my guy McCarthy. I'm going to push McCarthyism this late into the season. Dallas, Giants, and Lions. Unbelievable schedule, period. That's it. They've made some adjustments. If Justin Jefferson wants to continue to be a well-paid decoy, it's fine. We'll throw it to Hockenson, Naylor, Addison, Josh Oliver. That was my analysis. That's why I liked Hockenson so much. It only took him, I guess, 14 weeks to figure it out. Enough with the big plays. Like, you got to scale it back a little bit. Work the middle of the field. When you have defenses paying so much attention to Jefferson and Addison, feed it to Hockenson. They didn't do it. Of course, they're starting to down the stretch here. Then last on my list is Jack Besh. I like Jack Besh. Second round pick. Nice inside-outside versatility. I watched him practice at the Senior Bowl. We all liked him. And I think he's easily their best option in terms of taking over as a number one receiver. I'll reel off a couple of names otherwise here. Dylan Sampson, he's got some standalone value now, and if Judkins goes down, then he's the handcuff. I do think Riley Leonard, and we'll see about Phillip Rivers, but while Riley Leonard is playing, I think he has a chance. He'll run. Blake Corum, we mentioned last week. Tajay Spears actually is 7th in receptions at running back, and then I mentioned Blake Corum last week, and I believe I said if you don't have Blake Corman, you have Kyren Williams, you're doing it wrong. I'll say the same about B-Rob, Brian Robinson. If you have CMC, you need to have Brian Robinson, and you need to stay tuned. Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and Jonathan Von Tobel, top of the hour. Adam Burke shares his favorite early week betting options here on VSiN. Back tomorrow with another show. Until then, have a great night.